We continue anyway. When we have the reality, the assessment is important. The evaluation, to bring the situation closer to me, the situation, but in the situation, the free spaces, which are called possibilities. You know, there are possibilities to walk around here, but here I have no possibility to continue. But to look around, where are possibilities? There are free spaces in between the blocks of reality. Blocks of reality let open spaces in between, which I can use. These are possibilities. When we have some possibilities, then we know some ways. But now we have to come closer and to assess them, to evaluate them, to know what value has it if I go there, or if I go here, or if I don't go at all. What is good? How good is this way? How good is that way? And how can I find out the value of a situation, a value of a possibility? I must feel it. I must have my feeling, my, could I have one more copy? Just one. Yeah, it is coming. It needs some time to warm up, and then it's, okay. I think so. Yeah, we must connect ourselves even more closely to the reality and to the possibility, so that we can and really come into touch with them. The needle hole wants us totally. It must go through ourselves what can become a meaning. It's not enough to have a cognitive information about what is possible. This is a beginning, an onset, but this is not the way yet. Do you understand? It is really impacting us. An existential meaning calls us, claims us, wants us in our totality. Otherwise, it will not become an existential meaning. It would be a good idea. So, okay, nice to have these possibilities, but are they touching me? What feelings do I get from my possibilities? And on this basis, the meaning becomes much more personal. It is connecting with my personal life. Feelings are quite personal, more personal than just abstract thoughts. And so we fill up the possibilities with our feelings. We look at how are these possibilities for me, not what are the possibilities, what is factual. How is no more quantitative, it is qualitative. How is it for me? Do I see something good in it? Do I feel something as being important? Is it in my personal assessment, evaluation, is it valuable, worth it? And it may be that my mother tells me it's worth it to do this stuff. You gain much more money. As an accountant, you make good money. And so I choose to become an accountant. And 10 years later, I stop that profession and do something else, because it was not mine. So, there are influences. it can come upon me from the outside. But if it's not mine, the meaning will break down sooner or later. It must be the courage to have my feelings, my own personal assessment. It needs courage to live an existential life. Because in the existential life, everything turns around me. I am the center of it. I am in the middle of the existential world. Every one of us is the center of his or her world. When I look around, I see the horizon of me, around me, and I am in the center of the horizon. This does not mean that I am the most important in the world, but it means that I am the one, the most important, to decide about my world. And if I do not take over that role, then I am misleading my existence, I am losing myself, I am alienating myself, I am not doing justice to my being in the center of the world, of my existential world. No claim that others follow my idea, no, but I should follow my perception and now my evaluation, which needs courage. I'm exposing myself. When I have feelings, I'm vulnerable. It may hurt. It may, if it goes wrong. This means that I made a mistake. If others decide, then I'm not guilty. If others say what is more important, then I get a guideline, but it's again not my life. Meaning means live your own life. Meaning is the invitation, the human task to really realize my being there personally, subjectively, on my own, with the help of others, in the dialogue with others, of course. But that I stand behind what I do. Isn't this great? That we are invited to live our life by ourselves. Maybe we are trembling, maybe we are anxious, maybe we feel overstressed or overdue. All this may happen, so let us look for help. But the line, the guideline, or the way is clear in our existence. And I'm not replaceable. I'm a unique person. Singular person. And so to make myself real with a beating heart and with my insecurities, this belongs to it. Having a meaning does not mean that I'm totally sure. No, I may be hesitating, doubting, touching, be touched or insecure, and so on. This belongs to our life. The professors always appear so reasonable, know everything, but ultimately they are also not so. But in theory, it appears so. But life is not theoretical. Life is a trial. A testing, an exposing myself and looking for the feedback and how it is for me. And when I evaluate the situation, then I can say, well, the possibility to use more computer work in my job, this I can do, or the possibility to, this is a good idea, this is real, with this I can do that, I know, and with this possibility, this gives me some pleasure, because in general I like to do computer, and so it turns out for me it is suitable. For somebody else it wouldn't be, but it doesn't matter. It matters only what is appropriate to me. And the other possibility to speak with my colleague. With the one, I could go for lunch, and with the other, I could even ask him if we go for a tennis play, because I know he likes to play tennis. And so there are some possibilities which I like. They go into different directions, but nevertheless, they are possibilities how I can connect myself more with my world and step out from my cage, from my isolation, from my reduced life. But the possibility to quit the job, I don't have that way. Not now. First, I should have another job. Then it could be possible. But there is a possibility to look for another job. The possibility to speak with the boss? No way. Not with this type. It is no. I don't. This has no value for me. This is only danger, only painful. This will be frustrating. And so we get an evaluation of the possibilities, and we can see what weight, what value have this and that possibility. It is good to come closer to the possibilities, because I am, as I said before, I am connecting myself with my feeling to the possibility. And this makes my world more real, when I have a feeling for what is possible. People don't do it, and this is a danger, because they are afraid to use their personal feelings to assess the possibilities, because I may detect that it is hurtful. I may detect that this attracts me more than I would like. I may detect that I really don't like a possibility which I first thought this is a good one, but when I really go into it and testing it out with my feeling, it may appear that speaking with that colleague and going for tennis, this is not so, he is quite arrogant. And playing tennis with the person, if I really visualize, make it clear to me what it means to go for a tennis play with Jim, with whom I have almost no contact, I just know that he's playing well tennis, and I also like playing tennis. And it would be a possibility to connect more with my environment, and to have better relationship, so that I like more to go to work, because I see Jim again, and we played yesterday tennis, and we have something to talk about. And so this may be a good possibility to improve my actual working situation. But when I imagine really to play with him, the way how he speaks about other people, and he is most probably better than I am in tennis, and then he will detest me, and if I am better than him, this would be and then we would maybe not be able to collaborate anymore if he loses or if he's dead. But if I do as if he is better, but I feel I am better, and let him win, this is also an aspect. So this possibility, you know, it turns out that assessing it from the close, really going into it with my feelings, does not work. So in counseling, go with people into this closeness. Let them really imagine how would it be, what is the value in it, is this really pleasant for you, would you like it or not? And is this a good possibility. There are many possibilities, and some of them are nice, but for the purpose, for liking more to go to work, for finding more meaning in my work, playing tennis is not really so important. You know, there are other issues. So this is a nice, maybe it is a nice possibility, but it is a bit leading me away from what is really important. It is like a bit a defense mechanism, more defending myself for not having to deal with what really matters, and to get the feeling, well, I do something. So counselors are aware of this, that this can also happen when people look at the values of the possibilities, that they are afraid of the feeling for their possibilities, or that they exaggerate or overestimate possibilities. How can we prevent such misleading evaluation? By looking at ourselves. Looking at how would it be for me if I empathize into the situation of the client, if I would speak with the board, or if I would work, do more computer work, etc. I often have the feeling that speaking with the boss would be the best, like this, in such a situation. But I don't tell it to the client. For me, not being entangled in this working place, and with my capacities, I will go to the boss and say, hello, here I am. This is how I work. This is what potentials I have. This is what I don't like. Can't we improve the situation? But people often do not what I think or I feel would be the best in case I would be in this position. This is also important, that don't push people to do what you think is the most important or the best. Let them live their life. They can go there. They can try with doing more computer work, with being more with the colleagues, and after a while, they come and say, now I see this is not enough. The feeling of meaninglessness is still there, weeks later, and you did a good work. You offered them the possibility to grow with their possibilities. They must make first their experiences. They have to learn the alphabet before they start reading life. And they learn the alphabet by doing little minutes. And some of them may already reduce their feeling of meaninglessness, but it may happen that after 6 weeks, they get almost the same feeling of meaninglessness as they had at the beginning. So, as a counselor, I say, well, I'm a failure. This is not working. When you have many experience, you say, oh, we are in a good way. Because what the person did, the client did so far, had some little meaning. And he experienced it, and he trained himself, or herself in that case, and in the case himself, he trained himself, and now he sees what he saw at the beginning as being meaningful and being possible to do. Turns out that it is not so meaningful as he thought, as he assessed. And I have in mind, I will speak with the boss. And so we come up and say, let's go back to the possibilities. Have there been other possibilities which you could do? Just possibilities. And if the client does not come to the possibility to speak with the boss, I offer him the idea and say, did you ever think about the possibility to speak with the boss? We spoke about it, and you said this is no way. Would that be a possibility now, maybe? It wasn't at that time. for you, it was, this was not a feasible possibility. But now, would that be a possibility? And they often come close to what we as counselors see from the beginning. But let them go, give them time, please. Don't force them, don't give them better solutions. They should find their solution. They have to live their life. The meaning concept, the meaning idea conveys this information. Find your way by yourself. And you need time to learn and to grow up and to become strong enough, to be trained, existentially trained for the greater meaning. There may be obstacles like fear of authorities, etc., transferences from father, etc. Maybe we have to work a bit on that in the meantime. You understand, the second step is making an order or taking out more existential relevance of the possibilities by assessing them, by looking at the values, the worth, and my feelings which I have for the three possibilities. This is more information. This is something I take out. It is not projection of what I always liked, and therefore this is the way. Look at it closely. Is it really a good way to go for a tennis play with this guy in this context? And don't abuse the situation. Don't take the possibilities to manipulate. If you don't really like to play with this guy, don't go. It would be helpful maybe for your job. But this would be more manipulation or abuse and not be real life. Then it will not be helpful for a meaning, for finding a meaning. So the counselor has to be aware of many things by guiding and accompanying the people in their process. And you see, it is complex. But the steps in themselves are quite simple. Reality, felt value. And then, when we have assessed the situation, the possibilities, then we make a selection. Yes?
May I have a question before we go to this question?
Yes,
exactly. Coming to this closeness, to feeling the possibilities, would this be helpful also for the clients who do not, who have this feeling that they do not trust?
Can you speak louder so we can all hear you better?
Okay.
Maybe this is
more. No, I can speak louder. I don't like
it. It is a possibility.
I just not so my question was that bringing this to this closeness in analyzing possibilities and coming to the feelings, would this be helpful also for the clients who have this feeling that they do not trust their thoughts and their feelings, and because they do not have this closeness on regular basis and they were not educated in this respect? And I have a customer, a client like this, who has this constant fear that he cannot rely on his feelings because he's already thinking, projecting, and so on. Would this kind of closeness support them also in this respect?
Yeah. This is helpful to the client if you tell him or her that it is important for finding meaning. We must have connection to our own feelings and to the values. Mm-hmm. Values are perceived by our feelings. Existentially relevant values are perceived by the feelings. There is no meaning without ourselves, including our feelings. This is for many people, the reason why they lose meaning, because they are distant to their feelings, or they are devaluating their feelings, not respecting them, or they are disturbed by their feelings, or they cannot integrate the feelings, etc. Or they are too painful if they do not turn enough towards them. And then they lose their way through life. And when they lose the way through life, the red lamp is shining and saying, hey, meaningless, this is not the right direction. Turn around, this is the wrong way. This is a dead end. Or it leads you into an area of life where you will not be yourself, where you do not fulfill what is existentially needed in your life, etc. Feeling of meaninglessness. This is an important feeling because it tells me if I'm on the right way or not. If they take it, if they can work with your explanation and say, okay, when you tell me that, I understand. I didn't do that. I thought feeling, my father always laughed about feelings and said, forget about feeling, be practical, be rational, etc. And I internalized that, but when you take that, and when he can start to understand it, then he can continue. But some people are so traumatized that they cannot. And then they do not need any more the meaning-finding process. Then we have found out the reason why this signal of meaninglessness showed up. And they have to turn towards their trauma, which makes their feelings dissociated. In dissociation, personality disorders, heavy traumas, etc., they cannot relate to the feeling. And then they need work there. So the steps of this method helps us to find out where the origin, the reason of their loss of meaning lies. Thank you. Good question. When we have assessed the possibilities, then we have, as a next step, to make it most personal. Feelings are more personal than just looking and perceiving and seeing possibilities. In feeling, we detect preferences, we detect importances, we detect how things touch us and move us and attract us or reject us. And on this basis, we make a profile and say, what is the, on the end of step two, at the beginning of step three, we make the profile, what is the highest value for the moment? What would be best right now? In my actual circumstances. Maybe in the long run this is not the best, but in the short run this could be a good beginning. And we prioritize and make a hierarchy of the value and say, well, I could start with this and then go into the other possibility. I could start to go back to my work tomorrow and really take more time for doing more or working more at the computer and to improve my program maybe and to make a better order in my procedures and so on. This is somehow a challenge, and somehow I like such kind of challenges. I didn't do so far because everything was boring, but speaking about it, I became aware that this is a real possibility and that I like through that, and it would be helpful and be a worth in my job. It would make my work easier, and I could experience myself as being brave in my work, and good, and gives feedback to my self-esteem, and so. So I could start with this. Prioritize. This is the first. And then the second would be maybe to go for lunch with the colleague Joe, not with Jim. With Jim, it's a bit difficult, but maybe for lunch could be a possibility three. But I would prefer with Joe because this is easier. With Jim, it's more difficult. And there's a higher chance that it will not work out well. But with Joe, it's not a real problem. But I never did it because I was so frustrated. I didn't want to. And so, you see, from the hierarchy and the prioritizing, there is. And now, what they have to do to make a clear decision. To choose according to the hierarchy, the subjective hierarchy, which includes the own capacities and the own preferences and on the basis of the own values. And now to make a decision, do you really say yes to it? What do you want? Do you really want? Do you say yes to the computer work? You may say, in that case, yeah, just no doubt. No, I'm even interested in tomorrow and to experience how it is if I go back there. And do you want to go with Joe? Is this a value for you? Not only a value for your job, but is this a better way to pass lunchtime? Do you want it, Joe? What do you experience with this question? What does this bring up? What is the new in it? I am asked personally. I am in question. This is the most intimate point. To assess and to evaluate is very personal already. But to say final, yes, I want. This is putting myself into the situation. I am exposing myself. I am connecting. This needs courage again. So, out of these many evaluated possibilities, choose the one and then the second and go on with it. This decision is important because it contains a resolution. The resolution is like opening up the barrier so that the water can flow. Like unlock my power, my energy, so that it can flow. In the resolution, I give myself free. When I'm resolute,
when I'm resolved,
then I can flow. It is, I find my inner freedom and I'm making use of my inner freedom. It includes, of course, the self-esteem and what is important for myself. So I am playing the central role in the selection. In this resolution, it's me who decides according to what is really important for me. In the steps before we were in the world, we came closer to ourselves, how it feels, how it is. But now we are opposing to what we perceive with our own intimate attitudes, convictions, and say, well, this I really want. I agree with it. I make the situation in the maximum possible. This is the deepest point in the search of meaning, and the most intimate point. And then it needs the action. There is no meaning without action. It must be lived, it must be brought into the world, it needs the deed, the responsibility, the engagement. It needs my arms, my power. The problem there is that some people feel quite helpless in arranging it strategically. They do not know how to do the things. And they need sometimes help. For instance, if this guy says, well, after 6 weeks when he comes with a relapse of meaninglessness, and he said, well, this is, it's not really working, I still feel my work is bothering me, and we find out in case that it is now time to speak with the boss, and even to risk to go away, because it's not a good continuation of life if he doesn't clarify from the roots the situation. If he decides, then he may say, but I don't know how to do that. I never did such similar things. What? How could I? And then we train. We speak about what he's going to, what he would like to tell him, what is important for him, and how he could formulate it. We make even a role playing, and that he tries to formulate it in front of me, and I'm playing the boss. And that he gets trained and knows how to do it. The action has to clarify what is the best situation, what are the best means, what are you able to do. Maybe you go to him with the HR or person or alone, or you write him first an email by announcing it, or so. And this has to be found, and he knows the boss, and he can say, well, I think he will react this way or that way. And then we ask back, and if he reacts that way, could you take it? Could you bear it? Could you withstand it? What would you do if he reacted that way? And what would you do in the worst case? So only when he is prepared to even take the worst case, then he can, he is ready for the action. When we are not prepared for the worst case, anxiety is dominating us. This is the rule. So you see that the meaning, find the meaning, contains several qualities: cognition and perception, evaluation, emotional relation. Freedom in the decision and responsibility in the action. Existential meaning is related to reality, is related to values and emotionality, is related to the person and his or her freedom, and to the action as the form of realization of the responsibility. Let me say, to conclude, some words about the indication of this method. Where can we use it? This is a practice, the classical method for logotherapeutic counseling, for counseling for me, for finding meaning. We are not working through biographical problems or trauma. We are not doing psychotherapy in with this method. We are guiding and accompanying and assisting a person in looking better into his or her life situation and to make use of the capacities, knowing what are the ingredients of existential meaning, and to bring him in him or her in connection into connection with the substance, the elements of existential meaning. And so this method can be used in two main areas. One area is the personal development as in the personality, and to give orientation in one's life in the field of pedagogics, education, in the field of life coaching, in the area of counseling, of looking it into the future, life counseling, in areas where not problems are dominating, where people say, what will be the best for my future, which study, which profession. Even there you can make use of it, not to resolve a problem, but to make more concrete a vision, to bring one's life into a better, more creative, structured development. The life, but also a day. Every morning we can use it. We can ask ourselves, what would be the best today, the best I could do? Or in a job, what is meaningful? Look at my realities, evaluate them, the possibilities, make clear decision and do it in a resolved way, and then go on and do it. The other big area is to work through problems. When the meaninglessness is already there, it may even be the meaninglessness of life. My whole life has no meaning. Then I can ask him, this is maybe the most difficult question, I can ask him, okay, you feel your whole life has no meaning. So tell me, what is your life? First step, what do you consider to be your life? And implicitly, we are taking the person from the ontological level down to the existential level and say, well, my life consists in doing a job 9 hours a day, 10 hours a day, etc., and having these friends and having these difficulties and this sickness, etc. And then looking at the theme is the same. It is a broader horizon. Sometimes it leads to changes in the outer world, but sometimes it only leads to changes in the inner world, in the attitudes. Okay. So far, how I wanted to present you this method. This method is based on the definition of existential meaning. On the enlarged definition of existential meaning, which says existential meaning is the best possibility I have in this situation. The best possibility here and now, what I can do. And then you see the four elements, and they have this order to work through. From the distance to the closeness, and again back to the world. So I was speaking very much. I have great admiration for you. And listen, and I hope you could have a little bit of siesta afternoon. Are there any questions before we go to the practical?
I just want to ask about gut instinct, because
that's very important.
It is very important, isn't it? Because, you know, lots of people say trust.
Do you,
gut
do you hear?
No, it's all right. So, I'm just asking a question about gut instinct, because an awful lot of people say, "Oh, you must trust your gut instinct," and you know, I trust my gut. Now, sometimes I think we can. Other times, I think it's quite dangerous to go with our gut instinct.
The relevance of gut instinct is a big theme. This should be connected with the knowledge of feelings, of instincts. There are different forms of feelings, and what forms of feelings have this instinct, and of phenomenology. If you have a clear understanding of gut instinct, it is something very valuable. But sometimes people don't have gut instinct. And then such a method helps them, because here gut instinct has its place in the third step. Do you really want it? What is your gut instinct telling you? You personally. But when people have a good gut instinct, they normally do not suffer from meaninglessness. And if they do, a part of their capacity for gut instinct, everybody has gut instincts, some people have more access to it, a part of this, you can apply this stuff, because these are very logical, practical steps. It's in itself, it is something what we all know, what we all do. I'm sorry, I didn't bring you anything new. I just brought you back to yourself and to your own experience. This is taken from how people live.
Actually, I think this is exactly what we did as a group, as the new division of the new network division for IOM. We went through those things as a group. So it really works both for individuals
and for groups.
Yeah.
It also works for groups.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Something else, it's an excellent method, of course, but it also there's a sadness to it. And it has to do with helping individuals cope with the reality as it is. But the reality sucks. So the challenge, I think, for many of us is, how do we then challenge the system? If I have to engage with a boss that is toxic, for instance, or an environment that is toxic, what does it say about our society? What does it say about organizations? So there is some work out there that needs to be done at that level. Otherwise, we're going to be helping people cope with the reality that they're facing versus changing the reality to be much more
human. To adapt more than to
change. That's right. And it's just change the environment so that people don't have to be coping with these horrible conditions, and where they become part of participants of improving that system. Yeah. That's the challenge that I think that. And the role of challenging psychology to sort of face up to that is not just helping the individual, we have to change the system. Otherwise, it's just going to be suffering after suffering for individuals when we're all in the same boat. But let's stop making conditions crazy for one another, and let's cooperate to enhance the environment. Yeah. Make it much more meaningful. Yeah.
But do you see it as a possibility, like opening up the horizon, because that's a possibility as well to change your environment?
Yeah.
That's the way how we can perceive. We may see all the need to change a toxic environment or to change the world, ultimately. But in counseling, we follow what the person.
No, I'm with you. That's why I said that this is a very good process. Yeah. It's individual,
and
but it also
person,
says something about the condition of our society.
And then the person has the same view as you say.
Yeah.
Then you say, wow, this is a great need, a great possibility. This is so important. I also feel it. I can support you in that. I agree. And when you see it, you are maybe the one who is, or one person who is able to apply that and to do something in that. But the other person is too timid or too artistic or whatever. And so this is so important that we tailor it to the personality.
That's true. Yeah. I agree.
And but what you bring in is very important. I'm very grateful you speak it up. So that we don't think, or we should not think, that counseling or even coaching is not just a private issue. It is to bring ourselves more into relationship to the world, also to the social world. Yeah, thank you.
So it has to do not only with how to improve myself, but how to improve myself so that I don't bring suffering to somebody else.
Yeah.
And that's, if more people had that sort of an approach to life, not only give it meaning to themselves, but give it meaning and allow other people to have a meaningful experience, that could be, you know, the best thing we could do. But we haven't cracked that code. I mean, there's methods out there. I practice some of them. But that's, I think, the big challenge for humanity is how we make that happen. How do we sort of move from ourselves to think more about us collectively and how we can create those conditions where everybody can thrive?
Mm-hmm.
I think positive psychology is doing some of that, but also existential psychology, some of the work that we're doing is also moving in that direction.
I see existential psychology also as a positive psychology.
Yeah.
I would say, but maybe positive psychologists would say it does not fulfill all requirements for positive, but I think it does. There are more specialists in positive psychology here. So, thank you. Some more comments or questions or suggestions or experiences? I would now like to invite you to work in little groups by three with this method and to apply it. But maybe we should first make a break, or we can give the question and then we go into the break, and out of the break you find your partner and you start working. Yeah?
So just one last question in a classical coaching model, GROW, I'm pretty sure some of you are aware of G as a goal, and then R, reality, and then O, options, and W, actions, or willpower to move on. The classical British model is that G goes first, so goal goes before the reality. So the idea is that shoot to the moon, you'll end up among the stars. And in your model, it's more like start with reality and then go. What's your thoughts on that?
You are challenging me. Should I really open up this?
Yes. Sorry. I asked all my coaching teachers about that, and they insist G needs to go. Goal.
I know,
needs to
this
be
is
first.
This is so common. Put your goal
and
goal.
Yeah,
and then goal.
For me, it's kind of, I'm not sure what's the right thing. I doubt it's right.
And here, it's not so. This is inductive procedure. This is starting from the ground and let grow and find its way. And the goal is to grow and to be in oneself and not to achieve, accomplish a goal. Who tells me what is the right goal? How do I know it? I should start here. Otherwise, it is a projected being. It is an idealized. What is a goal?
But isn't the goal meaning?
Yeah, the goal is maybe even more humbly, even less meaning is already beyond. The goal is to be a human being in this world, and to really be a human being, fully be more and more myself in this world. And one element of this is meaning. So I can be more myself if I have a meaning. I see the meaning. This is helping me to be more. It need not be the climbing of Mount Everest or to have made 5 million. In the 70s, when I was in America, there was an advertisement of Oldsmobile. He said, what a real man needs, the goal of the meaning of a life of a real man is to get married, to have a child, to plant a seed, and to drive an Oldsmobile. And I found it so nicely that they said that to drive an Oldsmobile, because this is really, this shows that all this idea what a real man has to do makes it so ridiculous, so reduced. Yeah, when I'm driving Oldsmobile. Yeah, so goals, be aware of goals, especially those who do coaching. Enterprises use goals. Leadership coaching is always about goals. What could be the next goal? And leadership must give a goal to their company. The existential approach says, yes, put your goals for your enterprise, put your goals for your life, like doing the studies, finishing the thesis in the next year, this is my goal. But sometimes it comes different. And it is also life when it comes different. And not only what fits into the way to the goal is life. So don't reduce the quality of what happens. And to the leadership personality, tell them, well, put your goal. But then forget about it. Put your goal and say, this year we want to develop this new product and to open market in this country, etc. Yeah, this is the goal. And then go back to your work. Work and don't look at the goal, but work, knowing that you are going into this direction. I learned this from professional mountain climbers, I know two of them personally, and they said that they all experienced that they were 50 meters or 200 meters below the 8,600 meters Mount Everest or K2 or so. And they had to turn around, not only one time, five times, six times. And I asked, for instance, Kaltenbrunner from Austria, the first lady who did all the 8,000 mountains without oxygen. And she said, I never experienced this as a failure. Because of what is my goal? I asked her, what is your goal? Isn't it the goal to be on top of the mountain? And she said, those who have this as the goal, most of them don't live on it. My goal is not to be on the top of the mountain. It would be nice if it turned out. My goal is to return home safely. Even if it is 50 meters below the peak. And then she achieved her goal. And she returned home safely, and she was sometimes in very difficult situations. You know. When we go onto mountains, as I like to do in also in the Alps, I know the peak where I want to go. And then I start going, but then I don't look at the peak. I look at the ground and look at the next step. This is the picture for leadership coaching. Look at the next steps. Sometimes stop and look if you're still on the right way, but then look down to the next step and let the goal be there. Go safely. And with the enterprise, I can only do what the market allows and what I can do with the people I have in my company. And to do the best with that, this is the meaning, the connection of my action with my reality. And make to see the possibilities, to evaluate them and to choose the next one and to do it as best as I can. Then I experienced meaning, even if we don't reach the goal. It was meaningful. And therefore I'm not suffering about turning around before I reach the peak. So when we live our life that way, we don't fail, but we exist. And it was worth it to do it, to have this experience, and to have experienced that I was honest with myself, and I was trustworthy with my reality, and straightforward and open and flexible enough for my reality. And then I can be, then I am really there and fully there. So I do a lot of coaching. When people come up with the goal, I say, I never come up with the goal. Or rarely. Sometimes, when I know these are achievers, I say, what is the goal? So that they can be quiet. But for myself, I'm looking, what are the possibilities around me? What is the demand of the situation? Okay. I shouldn't have said that, but you asked me.
Okay. What if the goal is to create an environment where people can find me? What if that's the goal?
Okay. Corporation. That's a good goal, yeah. So, let us look, what possibilities do we have? Let's go down, look downstairs, down to the steps. Good idea to make a more creative, meaningful environment in our family, in our company, in my relationship. What possibilities do I have to change? Because it's not good as it is. What could be changed? Change first, change later. I worked in a very big hospital in Vienna, which was really not a meaningful environment. And I was suffering from it, really. 2,500 people working there. Oh. And they had a very bad motivation there. It's a very egoistic motivation for everybody. Really. And even patients suffered, and I could see that. I could not change them. But I could change the situation on that ward where I was working, and especially with the patients I was occupied with, and I could really protect them. And I was there for them, and I could motivate the one or other person also to be more with them. We have to live with our limitations, and it is there, it belongs to our existence to be limited and to be happy with it. But within that frame, the picture, what we paint, what we fill out, the content, this depends from us. there are some people who are capable to become politicians or whatever. I am not a politician, but this is not. I would fail if I would like, if I had the goal to become politician to change that hospital. This is not realistic for me. Other people, for other people, it is.
I'm just doing sort of kind of like answering or just kind of going a bit further. So are you kind of saying that if we have a goal such as the desire to find meaning in our life, then we're almost setting ourselves up to fail because life isn't like that. Life is a series of ups and downs and roundabouts, and if we have that goal, then we're going to constantly fail it. If you have the goal to find meaning.
To find meaning.
Yes.
Yeah.
But kind of we're not really accepting that life has its ups and downs, but there's times when we have meaning and times when we've got it sorted and times when we don't. And we have to find it again.
I'm just asking myself if I ever had the goal to find meaning.
No, I'm just sometimes I'm kind of asking in a way that if we have such a big goal like that, we are bound to fail, and it's also in the sense of it's not based on reality, because reality is that life also has times when it's not meaningful.
But maybe to find meaning is more an interest or an attitude than a goal. Because meaning is everywhere and goal is on a specific spot. Okay, so I give you the idea what I would propose to work on, and then we make a break, short, and out of the break I suggest that you work it through in three. One person is the client or the coachee, the other person is the coach or the counselor, and the third person is the supervisor looking at that the process is working well and intervening when the supervisor has the idea or feels that something should be done there or was not taken here, so that the process, that it's responsible that the process is going well. And you can take every situation where you have, which you have from your clients to a situation where they suffer from meaninglessness or from your own life. Or if you have no actual situation or if they are too personal, then you can also look at a situation like what is meaningful tonight, what I could do. What is the meaning for tonight? Or shall I come to the conference tomorrow? Because nobody must come tomorrow. I was afraid that after the lunch break you will not come back anymore. So I gave you the handouts before. And what other possibilities do I have that could be meaningful? Or what would I do if, for instance, I plan to do something at the weekend and suddenly a friend from abroad rings that he is in Vienna or in London and wants to see you and we didn't meet since a long time. What is the most meaningful decision? Or a situation like seeing my mother every week and it is so boring to be with her because there is no talk possible. She always speaks about television and what she has seen, and nothing personal. But she wants me and she is living for this visit every week, and these 2 or 3 hours are so so meaningless, so empty for me. I like her, it's not the problem, but the time there, it's such a pity. It's lost time. Such situations, and that you can work it through. More practical situation or more organizational questions, like tomorrow, or when a friend is coming, or when I do something what I experience as not very meaningful, or I'm suffering from. So, would that be okay? Does anybody of you already have an idea that you could be possibly a coachee or a client to bring up something like this, so that you can see to whom you can refer, to whom you can go after the break to work with? Who can imagine to be able to play a situation? Mm-hmm. One, two, three.
What is the question again? Sorry.
If you have an idea, if you could play a situation as a coachee, yes. Four, two, five, six. So I think we already have enough people. Six, even one more, seven. So can you raise your hands again that everybody can look at you and see, one of these persons I can check in the break and ask what is the theme about, and then go there.
Yeah. So we're not going to take roles, it's just going to be one person that is going to we're not going to change the roles.
In that case, I don't think that we have enough time. Yeah, it would be good to change the role, but I think you need at least 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So the suggestion is to have a break until 3:10 minutes, and to work until 3:20, and to come back so that we can discuss it and work on it and clarify problems which showed up. My hope is that you get an idea how it works from different perspectives. Mm-hmm. Is that okay for you, everybody?
Yes.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay. So 10 minutes break. Thank you.